Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you're here with us today. We're talking to Alan and Sarah Griffin about mission service. We want to hear how God led you into mission service from a perfectly normal life here in the United States. So welcome, Alan. I think you're going to start us on this, and then Sarah, you just chime in whenever he doesn't get it quite right.
Okay. Well, thank you for having us. In order to fully get as much as we can in the time that we have, we'll take you back kind of in stages and not do it as in-depth as we maybe would want to.
We told the story once, and it took us over 2.5 hours to get all of the details in, so we don't want to overwhelm you.
So I'll just go back to December of 2006. I had received a job working for a concrete construction company, and it was a small sole proprietorship, and the guy that was the boss that year gave me a check for Christmas and said, go and get your wife something really nice for Christmas. One of the things I got her was a gift certificate for local massage envy place, and she went and got her massage, and that got her interested in taking massage as a profession. So she started in May of 2007 in massage school. And fast forwarding a little bit to November of 2007, the company that I was working for ran out of work. No pun intended, but our work literally dried up, just gone. And one of the things that in our conversations that she said to me was, you know, you're not getting any work. It was right as the housing bubble burst. And so construction jobs were difficult to get at the time. And she said, you know, you're not getting any work. Why don't you just go back to school? So in March of 2008, that's what I did. In May of 2008, she graduated from massage school. And I graduated the following March in 2009. It's kind of a skeleton sketch, but this is where it kind of picks up from.
When I was in massage school, I'd been in there for 2 months, and I fell and herniated my disc. The last disc in your back. And I found out after my fall that I'd broken my back somewhere when I was very young. It was a congenital defect called spondylolisthesis. And it made my spine completely fluid. It wasn't rigid like normal people's spines were. And I still had 6 more months to go in my massage class. And so I had to go through massage, basically living on ice and physical therapy, attempting to keep me going forward because I was past the time when I could get any refunds. So it was really, you know, we had loans and money out. So we kind of felt like we had to go forward. Mm-hmm. And so that's a piece that's very important in this story.
Yeah, it is. After she graduated in May of 2008, I graduated in March of 2009.
Right.
About a month before my graduation, an elderly couple at the church we were attending at the time came to us and asked me to come with them from Washington State to Florida to help them clear up a piece of property that they wanted to sell. They owned it. And they had had it for several years, and it was becoming a burden to them, and they wanted to sell that. During that trip, we left on a Tuesday morning, and we arrived on a Wednesday. And on Thursday night, Friday morning, I went to bed late Thursday night, and about 5:30 on Friday morning, John, the husband, knocked on the door and said, Alan, I need your help. Carlene won't wake up. She's kind of cold and she's non-responsive. And she had gone into heart failure and had passed away in her sleep. And it was a very difficult weekend for me because we went from normal routine activities to this death And it really was an eye-opening experience. It was right after I had graduated massage school. It was just before April of 2009. And when I got back from that weekend, and it really was an awful experience. I loved the people, but going through that was very difficult. And about a week, maybe two, after that happened, we went to Washington Conference Prayer Warriors retreat. And we experienced some real miracles on that retreat. It was a Friday through Sunday. And I'm going to let Sarah tell about pretty much the highlight of that weekend. This is all important in talking about all of these things.
The Lord never takes us in big jumps. He always leads us in baby steps, usually. And when I went to the Prayer Warriors retreat, I could do 1 to 2 massages a day without pain. Well, in pain, but without crippling me. And you can't earn a living that way. And it was Friday night or Sabbath morning. One of the announcers in the Prayer Warriors section, they had 2 sections, but the Prayer Warriors section said, "We're going to be doing anointings after Sabbath. So if you want to be anointed for healing or for setting apart for ministry, you can do it then." And I, you know, there was this thought in my head, and it said, you should ask for anointing for your back. And I said to Alan, I've read all those mission stories where God does the impossible, and he does it for other people, and I know he's able to do it, but is he willing to do it for me today? And it was a struggle. Oh, it was a horrible struggle. And finally I said, you know what? I can't lose. Mm-hmm. There's no way to lose. If he says that the rest of my life is going to be spent in this kind of pain and living a very difficult life because rough roads, I couldn't ride on rough roads, I wasn't able to sit through church, any number of things. I couldn't lay down flat to sleep. If that is the way God wants me to live the rest of my life, then he will give me peace in that. So when I was thinking about anointing, I was just thinking that maybe it would be myself and my husband, but there were 9 of us from our church, which is another miracle altogether. And when I told one of them that I was going to be anointed, they all gathered around me and they all laid their hands on me and prayed for me. And for anybody who's ever had back pain, there is a position that you sit in with your elbows on your knees and you kind of put your back in a little bit of self-traction. And I did that. I was in that position and I felt this pop. And I'd felt it before, but usually when you feel it, it was followed with this almost breathtaking pain, but that time there was no pain. And I thought, maybe he said yes. Mm-hmm. Part of my problem is that there are sections of my left leg that are numb and weak. And when I was asking for prayer, I asked that he heal my back. I felt that if he healed my back, then my leg would come good, would get better. So I felt the pop, the leg didn't change, but the pain went away. And I was like, okay. And it was not even a half an hour later, I ran down a flight of stairs, which I hadn't done in years. And I was flying high, right? Because God was a God of miracles today, mm-hmm. in my life. And, it's one thing to read about the miracles you hear about, over in Africa or in the South Pacific or in South America. But here in North America, you don't really hear about those miracles. And to have it happen to me, right? I was just, and even today when I think about it, it brings a smile to my face, that God loves me so much that he was willing to heal me. And that started another set of circumstances in our lives. A friend of mine I'm going to take this story. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine, she's my second mother, spiritual mentor, big sister, aunt. She's a big part of my life, has been, especially my spiritual life. And she sent me a CD by Ivor Myers, Escape the Black Hole.
DVD.
It was a DVD. And I watched it, and I started something called spiritual housekeeping for myself. My Alan wasn't there at the time, and I got rid of, so much stuff because I felt called to let go. Mm-hmm. And when Alan came home, he looked in the trash can and he saw all of my,
The empty cabinet and it caused me to stop.
No, he and I had agreed earlier that we were going to throw away one video that was demonic in nature. And when he came home, he saw that it wasn't just alone in there. He said, it seems like you've decided to get rid of a lot more. And he opened the cabinet that we kept our DVDs in. And I had taken care of those that were ones that were my special stuff. But I had left the things that he cared for alone, because I really believe that spiritual housekeeping is something that everybody has to decide for themselves. Mm-hmm. And he's like, so what happened? And I said, here's this DVD. I've watched it. I'm not going to tell you about it. You watch it. You tell me what you think about it. And so I kept my mouth shut. And for a wife, that's a hard thing to do. And I let the Lord work on his heart.
Well, we're going to have to take a break here, but we'll be right back. You've been listening to Education Currents. Be sure and like us on our Education Currents Facebook page and consider joining MRG Media in this radio ministry. Partner with us, send us a contribution or a show suggestion. You can call us anytime at 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783.
Our public schools aren't worth squat, Charles said to me. We were eating lunch at Subway and the topic of education had come up again. I send my kids to public school. Seems like all they learn is new bad habits. Then he looked up at me and brightened. Hey, he said, you want to come see my new big screen TV? Hi, I'm Paul Tooley, and I'd like to share an education moment with you. Many parents today feel that public schools do not serve their children's educational needs adequately. Yet, when you bring up the subject of private education, they claim it's too expensive. If you go to their houses, you'll find SUVs parked in their driveways, large screen TVs in their living room, and every person in the household owning a cell phone. It's really not a matter of money as much as it is a matter of priority. Where do your priorities lie when it comes to your kids' education?
This Education Moment has been brought to you by EducationCurrents.com. That's EducationCurrents.com.
Welcome back to Education Currents.
After watching the DVD, I was convicted, and we wound up essentially throwing away probably $300 to $800 worth of DVDs, computer games, all kinds of discs and things, not only for our TV and DVD player, but also for our computer. When I say we did housekeeping, it really got extensive. And one of the things that happened was we said, look, nature abhors a vacuum. If you have these things in your life and then you get rid of them, you've got to do something to fill that place. So we better find something good to take its place, because otherwise that evil will just return.
With cousins.
So we decided that we wanted to listen to sermons and et cetera. And one of the people that we found that we really enjoyed was David Gates through Gospel Ministries International. He is the author, co-author, I believe, of the book Mission Pilot. It was put out sometime in the late 90s, early 2000. And in listening to some of his sermons, we began to hear him talk about what I've kind of coined the miracle-filled life, talking about how radical trust, radical faith, believing that God is going to provide when there's no other reason for it to happen, when you don't see any way for it to happen. And at about the same time that we started listening to some of what he was saying and we began to really dig deep into what we felt our faith was calling us to do, another pastor came by. I don't remember his ministry's name, but he goes into closed countries and he ministers to believers in those closed countries. And he came to our church and he told some of the stories in our church. And a friend of ours years ago introduced us to a term called the frozen chosen. when you sit in church on Sabbath and things are good and you might hear a couple of amens or somebody might say something quietly off to the side that this gentleman was telling us he was used to churches that were much more enthusiastic in their worship. And he, our church kind of had that mentality where everything was kind of quiet. So our little church, when this gentleman came, the Spirit moved and the sanctuary just rang with amens and people were just amazed at his story because his story was
filled. we can't repeat any of the stories because he didn't want them recorded.
He didn't want them recorded because he was working with people that needed to be protected because the countries are closed. But I really got excited about doing that kind of work. And at the same time, Sarah got a hold of an application to put in for Uncle David's ministry. And I'll let her tell about that part because it's very humorous.
Okay, so we didn't have internet at home. We made that choice early on. There's so many dangers with internet. And so I would go to the library and download off of audioverse.org. I would record their sermons off of it. So we would have a lot of variety. And I was at the library and I checked into GMI's website and I saw an application. Right. And I was like, oh, man, you know, that's really exciting, you know. So I went home and I said to him, well, the next time I was ready to go to the library, I said, sweetie, when I'm at the library, I'm going to go ahead and put in an application for GMI. Is that OK? And he said to me,
yeah, sure. No problem.
So
at the time, I was doing something else. I don't remember what it was, but my concentration was totally on what I was doing. And she was, to my discredit, speaking to me, and I was just kind of dismissing her.
Right. So, you know, as a wife, if a husband says, sure, go ahead, it means, sure, go ahead. So I went ahead, and I filled out the application, and I sent it off, and I came home, and I said, well, sweetie, I have gone ahead and put in the application to GMI. And he said,
you did what?
And we're just going to draw a curtain over that discussion. but the upshot was that we really felt that we put it in God's hands. Mm-hmm. And if God wanted us to go as missionaries on either short term or long term, he would open doors. So,
and it was really interesting after that, the other ministry never worked out. I was in contact with the other gentleman a couple of times. But basically his ministry carried him in another direction. As far as I know, he's still doing it. Last I heard he was, and it's a wonderful ministry, but, GMI answered us. Mm-hmm. And after they answered us, we were supposed to wait a certain amount of time. I think it was like 3 weeks. I don't remember the exact time frame. And that time went by and we didn't have any, response as far as any type of calls, because what they told us was, after the paperwork is done and they go through their vetting process, then they put your name out for ministries to recruit.
Okay, so what I was told, I was the one, you know, because I started the project, right? Now I have to finish it. And what the lady in charge said was, I am going to send your name out kind of to specific ones that we think you'll fit. And if you hear something back, then great. And if not, then wait 3 weeks, and then I'll send it out as a general email.
You were sending it out as a medical...
We were sending it out as massage therapists.
As because massage. Because of our right. massage. And plus, in my personal background, I had fire and rescue EMS, EMT training. Mm-hmm. And that was just, it was part of what they asked in the application, if you had anything right. similar to that. And mm-hmm. that went into...
Well, the other thing is I've had natural remedies training. So that was something else. You know, I know how to do hydrotherapy. I work with herbs, you know. That's what I did when I was here in the States. So, you know, we thought, well, surely somebody, you know. Mm-hmm. And the first 3 weeks went by, and I thought, well, you know, maybe God has something different for us. And then we got 2 calls to Africa. When I was a younger person, I worked at a youth camp, and they had this song about missions, and part of the song says, please don't send me to Africa. I don't think I've got what it takes. I'm not a man. I'm just a man. I'm not a Tarzan. I don't care for lions or snakes. And Africa was a long way away. And I said to Alan, you know, it's not what I wanted. And then the next day or the day after, we got the call to go to Guyana, South America.
Now, before we get into Guyana too far, what was interesting was at this time, we had not actually sat down and talked to each other about where we wanted to go. But from my perspective, while we were listening to Uncle David, he described his time that he spent in Guyana. He described the people that he worked with, and he described the organization that he started. It was called GAMAS, or down there they say GAMAS. Guyana Adventist Medical Aviation Service was what it was called
at
the time.
Which is under the umbrella of GMI.
Which is under the umbrella of GMI.
And GMI is Gospel Ministries International.
Yes.
Right.
So having started that organization, he got it up and running, got some people to take over and do some things, and that was probably, I believe, the late 90s, early 2000 time frame. After hearing him describe that, I personally began to say, you know, I think Guyana might be the country for me, because I remembered Jonestown, Jim Jones, mm-hmm. those type of things, but I really didn't know anything about the country. But the more he described to me the work that he did and the people, the most important thing that anybody can do as far as missions go is come to the understanding that people are the real treasures.
Well, you have just piqued our interest, so we have to do another show. We've come to the end of this show. I encourage our listeners, if you want to help this very committed couple, Alan and Sarah Griffin, you would give a donation to Gospel Ministries International, GMI, P.O. Box 506, Collegedale, Tennessee, 37315, and be sure and earmark it for the Guyana Interior Missions GEM. That's spelled G-E-M, like the gem. And I'm sorry we have to conclude this show, but we're going to have you right back. So, listeners, we hope you'll come back again to hear the second part of our story. We'll be looking forward to that. And I have one last thing to say, and that is keep learning.
You have been listening to Education Current, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.